been a wonderful time here in MCBC Church. I'm very much blessed to be coming here and receiving all your blessings, love, and encouragement. It's a really wonderful blessing to me, and I'm very much blessed. I don't know how to thank you. I don't know how to thank Pastor Mike, Pastor Bo, the entire body of Christ here. So thank you so much, and thank you for everything that you have given me, a wonderful privilege to share from the Word of God. And you have been very patient with me, because I'm sometimes going out of time. I'm not able to catch up the time still. My watch is not working properly here. So I'm so sorry to say that, but today again I just fixed the time. Maybe I'll just finish it within the time. I'm not going to take much time today, and we will just hear a little bit what God wants us to hear today. So since right from the beginning of this conference we are hearing God is speaking to us about time, money, possessions, and the gift of the Holy Spirit, the abilities that He has given us. And we are going to answer for that. We are going to give an account to the Lord. And today also I want to speak on the lost world. The lost people are given to us. The lost people are before us. God has given us. God has entrusted us. That also we have to know. The lost world is before us. The time is given, the money and possessions is given, the gift of the Holy Spirit is given, the abilities are given, and the lost world also is given to us. And we are answerable for that. One day we'll have to stand and we have to answer. So the lost world is given to us, and we are to be very careful about that. What am I doing for the lost world? What am I doing for the lost people? Today's message is that. In Ephesians 5:17 says, therefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. But understanding what the will of the Lord is. We have to understand what is the will of God for the lost world. The Bible says, 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is long-suffering to us, as were not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants that, God never wants that people to perish. No one to perish. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. God wants that everyone to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. God wants that. That's the reason He's waiting. He's waiting, waiting. And we are the people God has blessed us. We are the ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We are the people. We are God's agents on this world. We are the people of God. We are the workers, laborers of God's mission. So we have to understand, we have to know that God never wants that anyone to perish, anyone to go to hell. And very important, God wants to save every mankind. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, if I love God with all my heart, then I can even love my neighbor. If I say I love God, then I must love my neighbor. I must love my neighbor. If my neighbor is not knowing Christ, if he is away from God, if I say I love God, but I don't have love for my people, love for God's people, For the lost world, then maybe I'm pretending. Maybe I'm not really loving God. God wants that. If I love God, then I should also love my neighbor, the lost world. Mark 12, 31 and 33 says, Jesus said, if you love me, then even love your neighbor as yourself. Very, very important thing. The lost world, we have to see the lost world. People are dying and going to hell. They are away from God. They don't know God. Romans 10 is very clear on that. They don't know him. They have hardened their hearts. They have hardened their minds. They are out of God's will. John 4:35 says, lift up your eyes and behold, the harvest is ready. Lift up your eyes and behold, the harvest is ready. The harvest is ready to be harvested. But we are not reaching out to the people. The harvest is ready. It is already ripe. It is ready to be harvested. But we are delaying to reach there. And that's how all the seeds, they fall down and they die. So God wants that we have to lift up our eyes and see to the field that the harvest is plenteous. The harvest is ready to be harvested. In Matthew 9:37 and 38 says that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So harvest is plenteous, but God is looking for his people. God is looking for men to go and work. God is looking for men and women to stand at the gap. Ezekiel 22:30 says, we have to stand at the gap. God is looking for men and women who can stand at the gap. Very important thing, dear God's people, that the harvest is plenteous. And we are to know that, we are in the last days, last time. At any time, Jesus may come. At any time that the trumpet may blow. At any time, Revelation 4:1 may take place. Come up hither, Jesus may say. But before that, we have to propagate the gospel of Jesus. We have to preach the name of Christ. That's the reason God has placed us. God has kept us on this world, on this earth, so that we can be witnessing for God's kingdom, God's glory. That's what God wants. Today I'm not going to preach more, but just these things I want to tell, that the lost world is given to us. And what am I doing with the lost people? Am I really loving them? Am I really witnessing them? Am I really sharing the love of Christ to them? I have to question myself. You have to question yourself. You have to examine yourself. I have to examine myself, that how much I'm reaching, whether I'm truly reaching or not. I have received the eternal life. I have received God's love. I have received the free gift of salvation. But sometime I'm withholding. I'm just keeping it. I'm keeping it with me. I'm not sharing with the people. In John chapter 4, what the Samaritan woman did, she heard the gospel, she received the eternal life, she drank from the well, and she's running to his village. She's running to her village and calling all the villagers, come to the well, come to Jesus Christ. We have received the free gift of salvation. Jesus has given us, he has blessed us with an everlasting life. If I'm not sharing with my neighbor, then I'm not really loving Jesus. I'm not truly loving him. That's very important question, very important thing that we all should ask ourselves. The Bible says, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth me. The love of Christ constraineth me. The love of Christ must constrain us to preach the gospel, to preach the name of Christ. Very, very important thing that God has kept us, God has blessed us, God has given us the opportunity, the privilege to be witness for Jesus Christ. God wants that. So we have to understand the will of God and we have to do for his mission. We have to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 9:16 says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." If I'm not preaching the gospel, then woe is unto me. Paul says that. I must also tell myself, I must speak to myself, if I'm not preaching the gospel, if I'm not faithful to the gospel, I should speak to myself, woe unto me if I do not preach the gospel. Because the harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few. God has kept me. God has kept you. God has given you the privilege of serving him. The serving grace is given unto us. 1 Corinthians 15, the serving grace. Nothing to glory of that, but the grace of God is given so that I can serve. I can preach the gospel. I can be witnessing for God's kingdom, for God's glory. Romans 15:20. This morning I said that verse that so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named. There are many places in the world that still that the gospel is not preached. Still the gospel, the name of Christ is not preached. When I think about my state, my country, there are several places which is not reached with the gospel. My duty, my responsibility is to go and reach to the people. Because I have received the Holy Spirit. I have received the eternal life, and that is my obligation. That is my responsibility that I should go and witness to the lost world. So it's very important. In Romans 1:14, Paul says, "I am debtor both to Greeks and to the barbarians." I am debtor. I feel that. When I think about India, when I think about my state, my people, 1,050,000 people are living in India, when I think about them. Today I was talking to Brother Bobby that we went to that coffee. What's the name of that? Innkeeper. How are their sisters were shouting and talking about Jesus Christ. But no, in India, we can't pronounce it. Whenever we go to the restaurant, go to have something, slowly we keep quiet there. We never pronounce. We never shout. But God has given us the wonderful things. I think about Odisha, India. 45 million people are living in Odisha. I have been reaching some places, but there are some more to be reached with the gospel. I feel I am a debtor to God and to his people. If I'm not preaching the gospel, then I am a debtor to Jesus Christ, because he has given me the life of eternal, and not to just keep it within me, not to hide it within me. I should bring forth, I should preach it out, I should give to others. That's the reason God has entrusted me that eternal life. We have to be very serious about that, and we should speak to ourselves that I am a debtor for Jesus Christ. If I'm not preaching the gospel in time, if I'm not preaching, if I'm not faithful, if I'm not available to preach the gospel, then I am a debtor. I am a debtor. I have something to be given. I have something to give to God. I'm not doing properly. I'm really not obeying the great commission of Jesus Christ. We are to be very faithful and sincere because many people are dying and going to hell. The hell is open. The hell is open. People are going to hell. The heaven is open. Hell is open. The door of the service is open. But sometimes I'm not faithful to the calling. I'm not faithful to the great commission of Jesus Christ. It's very important, dear God's people, we should be willing to preach the gospel. We should be going out evangelizing. While I was driving here, day before yesterday, I saw there was a skeleton in a house. They kept it in front of the house. I understood. In India, I see a lot of things like that. People keep some skeleton, something like that, you know. So I understood that they are not believers. They have not accepted Christ. If someone accepts Jesus Christ, then the skeleton will not be worshipped. I was just saying, even in America, even in Monmouth, there are people to receive Jesus Christ. There are people waiting for the gospel of Jesus Christ. My duty, my responsibility as a believer, as a receiver of the eternal life, as a born-again Christian, I must preach the gospel of Christ. I must be faithful witness of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "You are my witness. You are my witness. I am his witness. If I'm not witnessing, then that is not true of me. I am a debtor to Christ and to his people. There are many people that are waiting for the gospel. And we have to be faithful. We should be listening to God's voice, God's great commission. The great commission must compel us to go and preach the gospel. If I'm really born again Christian." That's what we do in India. In Orissa, I do that. I never stop at home. I go and evangelize village to village. I go door to door. I go district to district. Even I ask the church people. I ask the church people, let's go and do the mission. Let's go and preach the gospel. Because I know the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is very soon. It's going to come. Before his coming, I have to accomplish the mission. I have to do something. Before his coming, I have to preach the gospel. So this is the right time. This is the right time God has given us that we should be witnessing to the people. And we are the people of eternal life. We are the people who have received the gift of salvation. And we should even give others. We should think about the lost world. The world is dying. Remember this one. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:22, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." To the weak, I became weak. To every situation, to every circumstances, with every tribes, with every, to all people, I tried my best to give the gospel. Paul is saying that I became weak with the weak people. I became barbarian with the barbarians. I became weak with the weak people. It's a very important thing Paul is saying here, that we have to adjust our life and do the ministry. Sometimes we select the places and we go. But God is saying that we should go to the different places. In Acts 1:8, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. That means not only I should not be limited in one place. From this place, I have to go to another place. From another place to the uttermost part of the world. God is saying that it's very important as a believer, God's people, we have to understand that we should be ready to do anything and everything for God's mission, for God's glory. God has called us, God has chosen us, God has given us a mission to preach the gospel. It's a very important point we should understand. In Romans 10, 1 and 2, Paul says, he's praying for the salvation of Jews, the Jewish people. He's praying. My heart's desire is that they must be saved. God is, like Paul is desiring, that they must be saved. He's praying for the Israelites. He's praying for Jewish people. We should also pray for the Jewish people. We know the situation. We know the circumstance now, how they're going. We should pray for them, pray for their salvation. Definitely one day they'll be saved. Romans 11:26 says, one day the Israelites, they're going to be saved. The Bible is very clear on that, and we should also pray for them. Psalm 122:6 says, we should pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Israel. It's very important. We should pray for their strength. Isaiah 41:10 says that. We have to pray for the Israelites now. They are in a battle. They are in a very tough situation. They are in a very drastic time, very crucial time. They are going through crucial time. The Bible says we have to pray for them. We have to pray for their salvation. We have to pray for their peace. We have to pray for their strength. We have to pray. And they are the victorious people. One day they are going to be victorious. They are going to have the victory. Isaiah 63, that says, we are the people God has entrusted us. We have to preach the gospel. Paul says to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 4:2, that preach the gospel in season or out of season. Preach the word in season and out of season. We have to preach the word. That the word of God should be published throughout all the region. The verse says that the main verse, the theme verse, Acts 13:49. The word of God has to be published everywhere. That's why God has kept us, God has blessed us, and God has given us the great commission. Dear God's people, we should be faithful, we should be willing, we should be ready anytime to preach the gospel, preach the word of God, and God wants that. God needs that. It's very, very important. Why we preach the gospel? Few points I'll tell and just finish up the message. Why we preach the gospel? The people are estranged from God. Romans 1:19-25, the people are worshipping the creation. Instead of creator, they are worshipping the creation. When I think about my own country, there are 33 crores of gods and goddesses. They are worshipping creation. Some worship sun, some worship moon, some worship the stars, some worship the sky, some worship snake, some worship rats, some worship monkey, some worship cow. What is my responsibility? What is my duty? What am I doing? What am I doing? When I think about my people, that they have really missed the goal. They missed the goal. Instead of the creator, they are worshipping the idols. That provokes me. That's how I feel so bad Sometimes I think, I pray, Lord, please help me at least to reach some people. It's very important that people are worshipping the creation. Not only in India, even in America. When we think about America, people are worshipping the creation today. They're not looking for the Creator. So our duty, our obligation, our responsibility to go and tell them, don't worship the creation. There is a Creator. You worship Him. You know Him. You accept Him. There is eternal life. That is my calling. That is God has given me. That great commission is given to me. Number two, they no longer concerned with the thought of God. Psalm 53:1 says, people are no longer concerned with the thought of God. People are not thinking about God today. When we think about the people, the lost world, they are worried for many things except God. They're not at all thinking. There is a Creator, there is a God who made us, who created us with His own image. People are not able to understand. So our duty, our calling is that we should go and reach, we should go and tell them that there is a Creator, there is a God, there is an eternal God. He can give you eternal life. That message needs to be preached to the lost world. Point number three, they no longer have spiritual eyes, but blinded by Satan. 2 Corinthians, when we see 4 and 4, that the God of this world have blinded the eyes of the people. So they are not able to see the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, truth and the life. In John 14:6. They're not able to see the way. They're not able to see the truth. They're not able to receive the eternal life. My duty, my calling, God has entrusted me with the gospel, the eternal life. I must go and tell them. I must go and tell them. I must go and open their blind eyes. I have to pray for them. Very, very important things. Dear God's people, we should be faithful for what God has called us to do. The point number four, they no longer wise but foolish. They no longer wise but foolish. Psalm 14:1 says that people are foolish. They are following wrong ways. They are going into the wrong directions. They accept God. They are going in a wrong direction, they are choosing to go in a foolish way. And our duty is to go and tell them that there is eternal life with Jesus Christ. It's a very important thing, very, very important thing. Point number fifth, they are no longer alive to God, but dead in their sins. Romans 8:5-11, they are no longer alive. They are dead in their sins. People are dead in their sins. So we need to go and preach the gospel. That is the reason that we have to go and preach the gospel, so that they can receive the life from Jesus Christ. It's very important. Very, very important thing that God has given us. God has entrusted with us. It's a very important thing. Why the gospel is so urgent? I want to just finish it. Why the gospel is so urgent? It's a very important point. It's a very important thing that we should know, that why the gospel is so urgent. Because we are given the saving grace. 1 Corinthians 15:9-10 says that we have received the saving grace. Grace is given to preach the gospel. Grace is given to us now. And we are to be faithful for that grace which is given to us. And why the gospel is so urgent? Point number two, that because the door of salvation is open. John 10, 7 and 9. The door of salvation is open. We don't know when the door is going to be closed. We don't know that. But now the door of salvation is open and we have to bring people into the house. We have to bring people into the ark because the flood is going to come. The flood is going to come, and before that, we have to preach the gospel. We have to bring people into the ark. At any time, the door of salvation may close. So that now the door of salvation is open. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, today is the day of salvation. Today, not tomorrow, not day after tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. I have to realize this. I have to understand this thought, why Paul is saying this. Today I have to preach the gospel, not tomorrow. Today I have to be faithful to the great commission of Jesus Christ, not tomorrow. The urgency of the gospel. We all should be very aware of that. That Jesus said, that day already I mentioned that, John 9:4, that I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, when the night comes, I may not be able to work. When the night comes, the privilege may be taken from me. So while it is day, while it is today, I have to preach the gospel, and the door of salvation is open. It's very important to know. We all must be very careful about it. If we are believers, if we are the born-again Christians, if we are true Christians, we should be preaching the gospel. We should be willing to carry the name of Jesus Christ. Point number two, because the door of service is open. Revelation 3:8, the door of service is open. Point number three, because the door of faith is open. Acts 14:27, the door of faith, people are ready to put their trust in Christ. People are ready to put their faith in Jesus Christ. The door of faith is open. And now I have to preach the gospel. I have to go reach to them. Romans 10:13-17. I have to go and reach there. I have to preach the gospel. God wants that. God has given us that privilege. And the doors are open. We have to be careful about that. We have to be thinking about that, that the door of salvation, the door of faith, the door of service is open. Point number four, because the door of human heart is open. The door of human heart, Revelation 3:20. Jesus is knocking at the door. If any man hears his voice and opens the door, he will go and fellowship with them. The door of human heart. People are ready to receive Jesus Christ. But the thing, the problem that we are not able to reach, we are not able to go to the villages, we are not able to go door to door and do the mission. We want to be in our house. We want always the safety zone. We want always our own protections. We want always to be in our house. God has given us, God has blessed us with eternal life, and our duty, our responsibility to go and preach the gospel to the people, because the door of human heart is open now. Because the door of rapture is open. Revelation 4:1, John 14:1 and 2. The door of the rapture is open. Already I told you that. And sixth point, because the door of the second coming is open. Revelation 19:11. Point number seven, because the door of heaven is open. Hebrews 11:10-16. Acts 7:56. When Stephen was dying, when he lifted up his eyes, he saw the heaven open. He saw Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, he saw the door was open. Today, the door of heaven is open, and our responsibility to bring as much as people to God, as much as we can, as many as we can. God has given us this wonderful privilege, wonderful opportunity to preach the gospel. Dear God's people, let us be faithful to preach the gospel, because God has given us this wonderful privilege and God has given us the great commission. In the New Testament, we see 5 times the great commission is given. I was just studying on this great commission. I found 5 times it's written. Matthew 28:18-20. And then I found Mark 16:15-20. Luke 24:44-49. John 20:21-23. And Acts 1:8. 5 times the great commission is mentioned in the New Testament. Authority is given to us. The lost world is given, and also the authority is given to us. God has given us authority. He's not sending us like that. He's giving us his power, his authority, and he is with us. That's what we see in Matthew 28:18. Jesus spoke unto them, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." 19th verse, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." Verse 20, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." God's authority is given to us. God has given us. While he's sending, his power is with us. Verse 18 is very clearly mentioned, the power in the mission field is with us. God is not sending alone. God is not sending us alone. He is with us always. That's what he has promised in the Bible. The power in the mission field we see in verse 18. And in verse 19, the program in the mission field we see. The program is given. God's power is with us. God's program, he has given us some program. He has given us some plans, some strategy to do. We have to go teach and baptize the people. That is the program. That is the plan of God he has given us. The plan is given to us. The power is given to us. The authority is given to us. And verse 20 says, the promise, the presence in the mission field is with us. Lo, I am with you to the end of this earth. I am with you. That is the presence. God is promising, Jesus is promising that he will never leave us. He will never fail us. His presence shall go with us. That's what he's saying. The power, authority, and the program is given. And also, the presence of Christ is always with us. Dear God's people, we should be faithful. We should be ready. We should be willing to obey the great commission of our Lord Jesus Christ, because there are many dying and going to hell. Many are without Christ. Many are waiting to hear the love of Christ. And our duty is to go and preach the gospel. To whom much is given, much will be required. Again, I want to come to the point. I want to finish up the message. But God has given us so many things. He has given us time, money, possessions, gifts of the Holy Spirit, the ability. The lost world is given to us. The authority is given to us. And I should be faithful. I should be ready. I should be willing to do the mission. If not, I may, my work, whatever is given to me, it may go through the fire test. God may test one day. God may ask me, I'm accountable to God. One day I'm going to give my own account to the Lord. You are going to give your account and I'm going to give my own account. God has given us privilege and we have to preach the gospel. We have to be faithful in what we are doing. God has called us to. Thank you so much for this wonderful time. And let us be faithful. Let us understand the great commission of Jesus Christ. He has called us to do something. He has given us a privilege, an opportunity to be His witnesses, to be His servants, to be His people, to serve Him, to know Him and make Him known to the world. So let us be faithful and let us be serving, let us be reaching wherever we can, whatever we can do. I'm not saying you leave your country and go to India, leave your country and go to Ireland. For Ireland, brother is there. He is called for that mission. All cannot go there. All can't come to India. All can't go to Irish. All can't go to Pakistan. God has called 10 people. He has anointed them. They can go and do the work. But wherever we are, whatever ways we can do, let us be faithful to God and let us be obedient to the great commission of our Lord Jesus Christ. The power is with us, that the program is given to us, and His presence shall go with us wherever we go and whatever we do. May God bless us through this short message, and thank you so much for the wonderful privilege that you have given me. You have lured me, and you have given me so many things which I never forget. I can't forget. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.